Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to Sector 12 freaks who live in the hills and the caves, and they live off the mold that grows in the walls. They live deep in the caves of the Uinta Mountains, hidden by the wilderness and the scrub oak, and the monsters and the burial grounds of the Native Americans there. Good morning to cave freaks. Good morning to people traveling through space. Good morning. It is July the 12th, 2021, right around 2:23 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. But if you're listening on shortwave radio, it could be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday or Sunday night. And yeah, it could be WRMI, 5950 kilohertz out of Miami Okeechobee. It could very well be. And if you want to get the notes for this broadcast, just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. And the notes will be there to reveal the hidden truth of the cave freaks. The cave people, the people that are tunneling below your feet, people digging tunnels. Did you know there are people digging tunnels right below your feet? There are giant nuclear-powered cave tunneling machines. They are creating giant, deep underground military bases, specialized fallout shelters, underground hydroponic farms for growing of food and vegetables, right? Deep in those underground tunnels being dug by giant nuclear-powered tunneling machines, there are flocks and flocks of sheep and herds of cattle and cowboys, but they're cowboys under the earth. They're cowboys deep below the earth. They're cowboys that are struggling against the existential question mark. They are cowboys hunting their own fear. Deep below the surface of the earth, there are people digging tunnels for other people, people with billions of dollars and trophy wives. Deep below the surface of the earth, there are robot machines making love while doing space cocaine. Below the surface of the earth. First topic, I have been watching some really dumb movies because I've been in a really crappy mood. I don't want to say why I've been in a bad mood. It isn't because of the tunneling machines. It should be. They keep me up at night. It isn't because of the earwigs that have laid eggs inside my ears and now the maggots of the earwigs are feeding on my temporal lobe. No, it's not that. Not that. No. No, I've had a general disquiet of the soul, so I've been watching really dumb movies, knowing they'll be dumb because they come from Hollywood or wherever. The point is, they come from the sphincter of the collective creative impulse of a neo-Stalinist hellhole wrapped in the Death Star. And that sphincter used to produce movies that weren't so bad. Now it mostly just produces crap. There's a movie I have not seen. I hope the world blows up before I ever have to see it. The title of the movie is Meteor Moon. Meteor Moon. You can just watch the trailer. I have a link to it in the show notes. And if you watch the trailer, you'll see the whole movie. Meteor Moon. Meteor Moon is the story of an asteroid that hits the moon and knocks it toward Earth. Meteor Moon is the story of a washed-up scientist and a young engineer that wants to, you know... And yeah, whatever. I don't know the specifics. I don't want to pretend to know. But the general plot of Meteor Moon is an asteroid hits the moon, and then the moon is tumbling towards the Earth, and they have exactly an hour and 44 minutes. An hour and 44 minutes. They have exactly pretty much the time left in the movie to save the Earth. So basically, in less than 2 hours, the moon is going to hit the Earth. But that's why we're going to, you know, depend upon the government. With 2 hours to go, they can probably help us, right? But that might not be enough time. And, you know, the theory goes that they're going to use antimatter from a magical spaceship they have parked on the dark side of the moon. And there's all kinds of antics as they use sports cars to jump over earthquakes on their way to a space shuttle that takes them to the magical antimatter spaceship on the other side of the moon, where they're going to use the antimatter to create a black hole somehow, which they really don't quite explain. I'm not a physicist myself, but I really don't see how that works. And then the black hole is going to tug on the moon, pulling the moon back into its own orbit. So they're going to solve one terrible, terrible catastrophe by creating another probably worse catastrophe. But it's like, oh, but it'll be a temporary black hole. That sounds like my ex-wife. Yeah. And then I saw this movie Breach. And yeah, before I go to Breach, in the trailer for Meteor Moon, they actually drive a car out of the back of the spaceship to escape an explosion. That was intriguing. Probably to escape the black hole they created in 1 hour and 44 minutes. In 1 hour and 44 minutes, they made it to the moon. Well, the moon was racing here, but still, that's really fast, right? For government work. So I was watching another movie called Breach. And Breach had Bruce Willis in it, and it looked like Bruce Willis had seen better days of acting, and it didn't look like he was happy in the movie. It all looked stupid and canned. The basic plot of Breach is like a couple of old sci-fi films thrown together. Nothing very creative. The monster beasts in Breach are dumb. In fact, the movie Breach is really dumb, but in terms of the decay of human civilization, it's an interesting artifact, brothers and sisters. In the Sovietology of this neo-Stalinist collapse, Breach is interesting because it not only had really bad acting and kind of a lot of B-movie actors with actors on their way out, right? Bruce Willis. But it was just, I don't know how to put it. It made me think of Nicolas Cage. Like, what if it's not just that Bruce Willis is following the path of Nicolas Cage? What if all of human existence is being enveloped by Nicolas Cage? What if everything is Nicolas Cage now? What if your dog is Nicolas Cage? What if your cat is now Nicolas Cage? Have you seen some of the movies Nicolas Cage has made? He's broke, broke as F. He needs the money. So he goes to Hong Kong. He goes to Taiwan. He goes to New Zealand. He goes in movies and he, yeah. Willy's Wonderland, I rented that. One of my greatest regrets was renting Willy's Wonderland. What if all of the culture and all of the art and all of the beauty is basically becoming Nicolas Cage? What if Nicolas Cage is the antimatter that is creating the black hole? Does that mean we need to take him out? Does that mean we need to find him and dump him in the ocean? Should we hunt Nicolas Cage to save the world? I don't know, brothers and sisters. I think that, you know, if the moon were heading towards the earth and you had less than 2 hours, depending upon the government or Nicolas Cage, would be kind of crazy. Satisfaction. And before I continue, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz. Could be Saturday night, could be Sunday night, could be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, could be sometime after 3 a.m. UTC. It really depends upon whether or not you obey the edicts of the Queen. And if you want to get the notes for this broadcast, go to dfgtc.org/shownotes, deltafoxtrotgolftangocharlie.org/shownotes. All the notes for this broadcast are there. The whole story is there. Next topic. Satisfaction. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. One sign of intelligence, a lack of satisfaction. Sounds weird, right? Satisfaction. How is satisfaction related to intelligence? Well, I don't mean this in the pedestrian sense, like smart people versus dumb people. This is more in the biologic sense. In the sense of evolutionary biology, in the sense of why some creatures develop intelligence of a certain type and others do not. And one of the things that occurred to me is that intelligence, and maybe even consciousness itself, is a highly predatorial, highly paranoid, shifty-eyed kind of thing. It was never going to be okay. Once you became aware of what was going on around you, and for a moment, remember, folks, I am a Christian, I believe in God, but I have no problem discussing things in terms of the secular world, the material world. I don't have an issue with that. Some people get confused, not me. But for the moment, let's think of in terms of the world in empirical, materialist terms. For the moment, let's think of the world in scientific terms and ask ourselves, what is consciousness? What is intelligence? And yet, maybe there are many answers, but I'm going to throw one out there. The lack, the inability to be satisfied. We are constantly looking for things we will never have. We are constantly focused on a future that will never arrive. We always desire that which is beyond our grasp, and when we have it, we no longer want it. We are never satisfied. Maybe that's the first thought, in a way. The first inchoate thought, the thought that could not be formed, is the sense that I am not complete. And so I will spend my existence trying to figure out why I am not complete. My consciousness is broken. So I need to find the missing piece, right? But that's a futile pursuit, isn't it? I mean, that never ends, trying to find that missing piece. The very first thought, the very first question, the mind arises from the muck, and the very first thought is, I do not have everything I need. There are things in my life that are missing. I am incomplete. Perhaps the ultimate goal of life is to prove to itself that it will never have what it wants, ever. That in some ways, you should be a happy grazer. Happy grazers, and when I say happy grazers, this isn't always true, but they tend to have their eyes on opposite sides of their heads. Happy grazers. Happy grazers are happy grazing in the fields. Happy grazers are happy in the alfalfa fields, eating the alfalfa and getting nice and marbled. Happy grazers. They have everything they need. And I don't even know what they want, do they? Happy grazers. I'm not saying happy grazers are not aware of their existence. They might very well be, but they don't give a lot of evidence. Because a lot of happy grazers, like cows, for example, it seems like if there was more going on, at some point, they would figure things out, right? But they don't seem to. So whatever the difference is between me and a cow, or better yet, a dog and a cow, because it does seem like dogs are smarter than cows, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe cows are smarter. But it does appear there is this significant difference, and it seems like cows are happy, right? It seems like they're, or maybe happy is the wrong word. It seems like they're satisfied. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe if you're aware of the universe and everything around you, you will never be satisfied. Because you'll always stand on the edge of something beyond. You always have a meal waiting on the next meal. You will always have an empty Christmas box filled with a question mark. You'll always have a hole. A hole in your heart. A hole in your heart you can't ever fill. You can never fill that emptiness. If only you were a happy grazer, right? If only. Next topic, living rough. Okay, so you know those reality TV shows? And I think one of them is called like Naked and Afraid or Naked and whatever. I don't know. Fear Factor Naked. Survivor, Fear Factor, Naked and Afraid. I know I'm mixing reality shows together. I'm doing this on purpose. And before we go too deep into the topic of living rough, I had this great idea like 8 years ago for a reality TV show. It was called Hunting Knife Island. And the idea behind Hunting Knife Island, and also, before we go too far into Hunting Knife Island, you need to know something. This is not the kind of namby-pamby reality show you could do in the United States. You'd have to do this in probably one of those islands that even the Philippine government can't control. Yeah, someplace really off the radar. You'd have to, like, maybe broadcast encrypted through all sorts of alternative sources, maybe even go tour. But the point is, this is not a show you would put on and broadcast normally. You'd have to come up with some pretty sophisticated techniques. But Hunting Knife Island is the reality show where you're placed on an island. And if you've listened to my podcast, I've mentioned Hunting Knife Island before. You're placed on an island, and the island has almost no food. It has less water, fresh drinkable water. And there's not enough food, not enough water, and there's a whole bunch of people. Yeah, there's a tiny island. And there's not enough food, not enough water, but what you have on Hunting Knife Island in abundance, and it is because of this reason not ironically named. What you have in abundance on Hunting Knife Island is hunting knives. Like almost every foot is covered with them. And so people start picking up knives and practicing with them. And as the season progresses, Hunting Knife Island, you have little ceremonies, and if you do well, Maybe they give you a machete. Maybe they give you like one hand grenade. They're not going to give you much more water or food. Let's imagine Honey Knife Island is constructed in the following way. Every week, you get enough food and water for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 people. But Honey Knife Island starts out with like 100 people on it. And so by the end of the first week, a lot of people are gone from Honey Knife Island, Emmy Award winner. Now, I don't think Honey Knife Island can be made, but I have been thinking about, you know, these reality shows where they show people doing things, where it's like, how could they do that? How could they eat that bug from that plastic case? How could they be on that camera doing that dangerous thing out there? How could they be doing it? But when you really get down to it, when you really tear it apart, when you deconstruct it, right, Derrida, what you find is a lot of watered down scenarios that are in fact not as dire as the music makes it out to be. Is it terrible to eat some random bug, to stick your hand into a plastic case? The thing is, though, what's more terrible, eating that bug from that plastic case on Fear Factor, or grabbing that bug from a pond filled with poop and then eating that bug? Because the real choices, the real world, the stuff that actually will happen, could happen to you and people you love, it's going to be way more gross and disgusting than anything you've ever seen on Fear Factor or Survivor or Naked and Afraid. This is stylistic BS. This is not reality. Reality is there won't be some plastic box with nice, clean, lab-raised roaches in them. You're going to grab the roaches you can find. You're going to hope they're still alive. You're going to just gobble up the roaches from the sewer zone, and you will be happy and joyful when you do it. I think you'll be very joyful. It's a lot of stylistic nonsense. The real situations that people will find themselves in, the real desperate struggles for survival, are not going to be like that. It's not going to be like Survivor. It's not going to be. And the thing is, for a lot of people, you'll be alone. And I mean alone in the sense that you won't have a mobile phone and there'll be no cameras looking at you. You'll be just out in the middle of nowhere, naked and afraid and alone. Because you're not really alone if there's a camera looking at you. If you think there's a camera looking at you, well, that's its own kind of secular version of a weird kind of religious faith. If you think there's a camera out there, it might care about you. That means there's a cameraman. That means there's love. But for a lot of people in the not too distant future, there's going to be no camera. There's going to be no cameraman or woman. And if you're not like me, or rather, if you're an atheist, and all you have is material existence, the unfolding of chemical processes over time, the outcomes of entropy, if that's all there is, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're alone, and you're hungry, or you're thirsty, and you're almost dead, that's not like being on Survivor. That's not like being on Naked and Afraid. That is just the brutality of reality. That is, in fact, existence hitting you at 100 miles per hour. People talk about living rough. Like living rough is living in a pod, or living rough is not being able to eat all the food you want to be able to eat, or whatever. Living rough is having not too many choices to where to like go to restaurants and stuff. And no, that's not living rough. Living rough is not the absence of modernity. In fact, if anything, modernity will be a cruel joke for a lot of folks. Living rough is pretty bad. But don't worry about it, because they say the economy's improving. They say your house is worth $55 billion. Your house is worth so much that you'll be able to buy your own spaceship to Mars. You'll retire on Mars with Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and that Virgin Galactic dude, Branson. And you'll all drink martinis in the bars, and you'll all have sex with the hookers and snort the cocaine. And it'll be like a magical time for you. You'll have everything you need. You'll never have to worry again. Never again. No more worries. Next topic. So, I came across this, and I don't even know how to describe the situation here, but I came across this link about Lululemon, you know, and privileged white wellness. Privileged white wellness. It popped up as a headline in the Business Insider. Privileged white wellness. For I can't even boggle my mind to understand what that is. Privileged white wellness. So here's the thing. I think critical race theory is crap. It's kind of scary that it's crap that's keeping people so focused right now. One of the things I wanted to do in this podcast, and I'm really failing, is not to get too dark, you know? But if I'm going to spend some time explaining how Naked and Afraid and Survivor are absurd programs that don't even remotely reflect what you need to get ready for, then I think I've already failed, right? But if you listen to my podcast, you know that I believe that we have been and we are still being exposed to wave after wave of manipulation. That's the nicest way to put it. I would call it psychological warfare. I would. I still don't know for sure why, and I suppose that's the thing that keeps me up at night. But what I am certain of is that things like privileged white wellness or critical race theory or any of this other nonsense, like, you know, why? And this is really an important question if people believe in moving on. I mean, there was actually a .org created in the 90s called MoveOn.org, and its primary mission was to get people to move on from the Clinton scandals. And Clinton was still president, so if you had a valid reason for wanting to see justice done, that existed. Someone explained to me the weird, gross, pop culture political obsession over Donald Trump. I don't care if it's the right or the left. I don't care if it's the QAnon folks who can't stop talking about the secret armies and the Grand Canyon and all the magical gold and blah, blah, blah. Whether it's those people or the people that just can't get over the fact that Trump is no longer president, so you really just can't spend your life hating him. Okay? It's absurd. It's dumb. If you listen to my podcast, you know I think voting is crap. I think if this were a democracy, which it isn't, it's failed. It doesn't work. Your votes don't work. So even if you believed in voting, it does not work. Okay? It's a giant fail. And if it did work, it would probably be as bad or worse, but it's bad enough as it is, right? We are being exposed to one ridiculously absurd psyop and manipulation after another, whether it's race war garbage, or it's the BLM Antifa commie rubber cone garbage, or it's the COVID-19 never-ending monkey herpes nightmare garbage. It is garbage. The question people don't want to ask, and I'm going to try to stop asking because I got to somehow live my life, is why. So a lot of people are just glomming on to whatever fear scenario they want to. Russia, China, communists, COVID-19, monkey herpes nonsense. Why? Because you're negotiating for a fear that your brain can handle. Okay? You are, just like everybody else. You're looking for a fear. You're shopping for monsters. You're shopping for monsters. You're looking for monsters that you can deal with. And so critical race theory or privileged whiteness or any of this other nonsense, whether you're right, left, Republican, or Democrat, at this point it is inconsequential and irrelevant nonsense. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Family, friends, not all, but most of the people I know are at the buffet table of fear, not looking for the truth, but looking for a fear their brain can manage. So if it's COVID-19, they grab that. And if it's a subversion, you know, the Chinese did it, they hold on to that. And if they're afraid of the Russians hacking their computers so they can't eat their poison slop at McDonald's tomorrow, they hold on to that fear. And if they're afraid of the street commies because they watch some dumb video from Ian Miles Wrong or Andy No Clue, they hold on to that. Oh my God, Portland's being overrun by commies. No, Portland is being overrun by psyops. Just like Seattle was last summer, just like a lot of these cities are. Privileged white wellness. What is privileged white wellness? That would be a good question for another show. Next topic, though. So, being bored in a weird mood, I have been watching some more of these missing 411 documentary movies. I don't know what to call them. There's a man by the name of David Paulides. David Paulides basically has written tons on people that go missing in the national parks. He's a retired, I believe, detective, police detective, police officer. I don't know a lot about David Paulides, but these missing 411 movies on Amazon, like Missing 411 Hunted, about hunters, for example, they're interesting, they're intriguing. But one of the thoughts I had was, and this is messed up and probably silly, one of the horrible thoughts I had about the Missing 411 series . What if David Paulides did it? What if David Paulides did it? He seems to know a lot about all the crimes. He has lists of locations. He's obsessed. It seems like all these stories are his trophies. I mean, wouldn't it be messed up if 20 years from now we found out that all these folks that went missing in the National Forest were because of him? Or more likely, a murder cult he created? Because there's no way he could do it himself, but if he had a murder cult. Or maybe a murder cult he inherited from his pop. Maybe it's a murder cult that was passed down generation to generation. And David, maybe, you know, a screw got loose. He's become unhinged. His brain doesn't work right any longer. He's decided to do a kind of weird confession process where he tells the story of a multi-generational murder scheme of kidnapping people in national forests. And it goes back hundreds of years. He knows too much. I know, it's ridiculous. But how can you do it? How could you blame the guy? The guy sounds like a perfectly decent person. The likelihood that he, in fact, is involved in some cabal conspiracy that led to all these people being missing and murdered, probably, that just seems ridiculous and unlikely. Yet, given that I am expected to entertain the idea that the moon could be hurtled towards Earth, and within 2 hours, the government could save us. If you want me to believe that kind of nonsense for more than 15 milliseconds, suspend disbelief, then yes, David Paulides might have did it. Next topic. Next topic. So there was an article in the Los Angeles Times. There was an article in the LA Times. There was an article in the LA Times telling us of a new problem with COVID-19 monkey herpes. It might be creating lasting erectile dysfunction. Let me read this article. Let me read the Los Angeles Times article, COVID-19, or at least read one, erectile dysfunction. Great. Great, great, great. Let's look at the news for erectile dysfunction. Oh boy. This is ridiculous. Why am I going to read this article? 5 days ago, COVID-19 causes lasting erectile dysfunction. And the headline is COVID-19 and lasting erectile dysfunction. Here's what we know. The article was published on July the 6th, 2021. The author is Ronggong Lin II. Ronggong Lin. That's a good name for a porn star. You can't go wrong with Ronggong. Can't go wrong with Ronggong. And I read on, can COVID-19 cause lasting erectile dysfunction? This is how the topic of some discussion among doctors and health experts as they try to better understand the effects of the coronavirus. This is now a topic of discussion. The problem has been observed in some patients, but experts agree more study is needed to form any conclusions. Some men are coming into doctors' offices saying erectile dysfunction has occurred following a COVID-19 infection, said Dr. Ryan Berglund, a urologist at the Cleveland Clinic. At the moment, there's primarily anecdotal evidence. We don't know the scale of the problem at this point. Berglund stressed that it had been proved that COVID-19 causes erectile dysfunction. Observational studies need to be done, he said, adding that a helpful one would be to study men in the same age group with similar health status to see if rates of erectile dysfunction differ depending upon whether they have had the coronavirus. That we haven't gotten to yet, Berglund said. No, you haven't, have you? You know, I'm going to stop right here because this entire article is psychological warfare garbage. What I will say is this, and again, it's kind of come up a couple times in our podcast here, hasn't it? This is the kind of nonsense that is only designed to enrage people. This is the kind of nonsense that is only designed to make people upset. There is no way that I can believe any of the garbage I've been told about the monkey herpes, aka the COVID, whatever it is. Let's talk about Dan playing basketball, because I think people are confused. So I'm gonna give you an example that's simple. Imagine you see me, okay, at some park playing basketball. Maybe I'm playing by myself, just dribbling the ball and just taking shots. Maybe I'm playing a one-on-one pickup game, highly unlikely, but maybe. And you see me at the park, me, middle-aged, burnt out, 51 years old, playing basketball. Do you presume that I am an NBA, a national whatever, NBA professional basketball player? Because you see me in the park, am I a professional NBA player? Well, clearly that would be a dumb deduction, wouldn't it? But a lot of people are now latching on to this. Well, COVID is kind of real and it's a virus, so even if it isn't so bad, it's still real. That just means I could be an NBA professional basketball player. That's what you're telling me. There are all kinds of viruses out there. There are all kinds of bacteria out there. There are all kinds of people playing basketball at the park. Just because there's a virus out there, it doesn't mean there's a pandemic. And just because some middle-aged burnout is playing basketball does not imply logically that they are a basketball player. So this argument I'm still getting from nutbags out there, well, Dan, I got sick from something. I have no idea what diarrhea you got from eating the funky sushi at Funky Marty's. I have no idea why you got a cold, okay? I don't know you. I have no way of discussing rationally whatever sickness you may or may not have had. But the question you need to ask yourself is, even if you got the cold in February of 2020, does that make it a pandemic? Does any of this look like a plague or a pandemic? Okay? Is this an NBA professional basketball player, or is this just some middle-aged dude playing basketball at the park? Use your brain. This argument that COVID could be kind of real could be kind of stupid. It doesn't matter how real you think it is. If it's not an NBA basketball player, why are you thinking about it? Why are you obsessed with it? It's not a pandemic. It's not a plague. It appears to kill virtually nobody. And that's if you take away the flu. Okay? You take away the flu and you have the COVID. You put the flu back and the COVID goes away. That's reality. But again, you're sitting at the buffet table, right? And so if the buffet table has a plate setting that says COVID-19 can make your dick fail, then that's way better than you might not have electricity in 2 or 3 months. That's way better than there won't be any food at the grocery store this Christmas. Believe me, COVID causing erectile dysfunction is easier for your brain to think about because you can just go take the blue pill, right? COVID causing erectile dysfunction is easier for a lot of people to process compared to starvation or dying of thirst. But by all means, go to the buffet table and find a fear that makes you feel better. I don't know what the truth is. I know we're being lied to. That's the only truth I can hold on to right now. And it's a really crummy truth to know that the only thing you can be certain of is that the government you quote unquote support, vote for, pay taxes to is using its resources to gaslight you, okay? To manipulate you, to put you into a giant global MK Ultra trauma-based mind control mind screw. That's it. And most people are doing exactly what they want you to do. You're spending your time and energy on nonsense. Erectile dysfunction, Lululemon, health whiteness, crapola. What extra nonsense will we get tomorrow? What new nonsense? Every day, it's more absurd nonsense. Every day. And it's getting dumber, too. I mean, I thought it was pretty dumb a few months ago when the great revelation is Dr. Seuss was racist, we don't know, cartoonists are racist, probably. And then, you know, Ellen Page, Elliot Page, all that looked too dumb to be real. But now it's just getting worse. Lululemon? Who in what universe has Lululemon offended? Other than being potentially a useful place for people to talk about nonsense. Critical race theory is nonsense. COVID-19 is middle-aged basketball player in the park nonsense. The race war crap is nonsense. The commie fear crap is nonsense. 1-6, January 6, being anything other than a CIA honeypot is nonsense. Being obsessed with Donald Trump at this point is wretched nonsense. It's stupid. You are a stupid person. If you vote, let's say you're a voter and you're a Democrat and you voted against Trump, why do you care what he's doing right now? What's your issue? You think he broke the law? That's a long line of presidents. So what's really your issue here? The reason why you're obsessed is because they want you to be. Because they keep pumping you with anger and hate and fear. And Mr. Republican waiting for Donald Trump to rise up out of the Grand Canyon, that's why you're sitting on your hands and your 1,000 rounds of 5.56. Wake up. Wake up. They're keeping you busy. And from what I can tell, there's a lot of smoke, not a lot of fire from them. Now, are there fires? Yes, there are. They're the things that they tell you to not worry about. Okay, this is really critical. The stuff that they tell you to worry about, you definitely want to focus on that. Things like fires destroying your town or measuring 121 degrees in British Columbia ever. I don't care what month it is, let alone late June, early July. Well, they don't want you to think about that, do they? They want you to think about Lululemon and how your penis won't work because of the COVID monkey herpes. And how if you get the vaccine, you're going to become Lobster Man. And then the racist war will begin. And the commies will invade Portland. And the Chinese will invade Russia. The Russians will invade New York City. Is that what you're afraid of? Because that all seems pretty absurd to me. But whatever. I mean, at this point, what am I going to tell you? I don't think we should spend our days in fear. But if you're going to focus your energy on things to be concerned about, pick real things, okay? Bigfoot running from the mountains, coming down to steal your crops and your sheep and your children, probably not a real concern. Not having food at the grocery store at some point in the near future should be a real concern, or at least more of a concern. If you're going to rank order Bigfoot versus monkey herpes versus commies versus critical race theory versus food, I think you rate food first. Food, water, shelter beats all the make-believe nonsense. Those are the very things no one is concerned about. None of you. Most of you. Maybe some of you. But a lot of people are just simply not concerned about food, water, shelter. But they're very, very concerned about critical race theory. That's weird. Weird times, folks. If you've been listening on shortwave radio, this has been the Planetary Status Report with your friend Dan. We enjoy talking to you from the edge of the universe. And if you have been listening on shortwave radio, this has been 5950 kilohertz, WRMI, out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the great swamp, beast shall rise up. Yes, from the great swamp of the Okeechobee, you can hear those beasts rising up. From the great swamp of the Okeechobee, the creatures still shall crawl from the muck, and they'll listen to shortwave because they really enjoy it. Yes, indeed. And if you're interested in the notes for this particular show, you can go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. And if you want to email me, you can email me, me@imsully.com. And if you are in the Southwest United States, Utah area, me and my partner in crime may end up doing some citizen band shortwave sort of live discussion stuff at some point in the near future. If you've ever heard Dr. Freckles on your CB in Utah, that would be me. And you can reach out the next time you hear my voice on the radio that way. But we're going to put together something here in the coming weeks. We haven't quite figured out the format, but we're heading towards that direction. Some type of shortwave live chat post show, maybe. If people want to. I don't know what people want. What do they need? What do you hope for? What are your desires? When you became aware, what was the first thought you had? Were you hungry? Were you sad? Were you thirsty? Were you looking for love? What was your first thought when you rose up out of the swamps of Okeechobee to find your true love, standing on the shoreline, hanging out with the gorillas of Sector 8?